Welcome to Your Highness Podcast. I'm your host, Diana Crash, and today I am joined by Ashleen and Riley Aguilar. How are you doing today?
We're doing good.
Hi.
Excited to be here.
Okay, good. I'm excited you're here as well. I've been wanting to talk to the two of you for a long time now. And if you're a regular listener in any kind of a way, you know that usually this part is done with my co-host. But because the two of you are both media members and you have a lot going on right now, we're going to take this journey together and we're going to do our fave pot, fave not pot. And then we'll talk about a lot of other things. But I think we'll be covering the gamut today. So we're going to start this episode, as we do every episode, with our recurring segment, Fave Pot, Fave Not Pot. And we each talk about our current cannabis-related and non-cannabis-related item that we're just really feeling right now. So I'm going to start. Mine is actually a transdermal cream by Treatables. Ooh. And it's 1,000 milligrams of CBD per tube. Humans can use this as well, by the way. It's for dogs and cats, but I think anyone can really use it. It has 5-in-1. It's a 5-in-1 support. And the really cool thing about this is if you put a little dab inside the ear of your dog, it goes right into the bloodstream and it's an instant effect, which really helps because my dog is really annoying with his scratching. He scratches a lot, but it's like a nervous thing. It's not really a skin issue. So this has been a lifesaver. This is the only thing that's ever made him completely stop itching. So I think that it really does affect the anxiety and, you know, whatever else he has going on. So big fan. And they also donated a bunch of samples to our event the other night. So we're really grateful for that. Big fan of Treatables. Always have been. The founder, Julianne, was one of my very first guests 7 years ago. So definitely check out Treatables. So who would like to start with their fave pot?
I can start.
Go ahead.
So actually, Ashleen has some on the table right now. So fave pot right now have been these from the soil 0.75 gram joints, pre-rolls. They come in a two pack. So it's 1.5 grams like total, but 0.75 grams I've decided is the perfect shareable size joint. Like 1 gram, well, 0.75 grams for like two people, because I usually smoke with my partner, Warren. But 1 gram is good for like more than two people. 0.75, perfect for two people. 0.5, not enough.
Yeah.
So I've been really into the, and like, I think these are the only 0.75 joints on the market right now.
In Washington.
Yeah. So nice. I'm really digging these from the soil. Damn tasty pre-rolls.
It is nice that you get an extra half gram joint in the whole tube, and it's only like a dollar more than your, you know, 1 gram tube. So
yeah.
Oh, really?
I agree. Those are good. Yeah.
I probably wouldn't share that, but that's just because my husband doesn't smoke flower like that. But it would be a nice one to come back to, I guess, like, you know, finish half of it for later. Yeah.
I mean, it's really good at like 0.75 is pretty good on your own. It's like not as daunting as a 1 gram. Like I'm happy to smoke a 1 gram on my own. Don't twist my, it's not an issue, but like 0.75 doesn't feel like I'm like so out, so high that I can't function. And like, yeah, it's a good size. Nice. I've decided. I realized that after smoking, I was like, nice size.
I like it.
Yeah. Awesome. And what about you, Ashleen?
Okay. My fave pot right now, I was going to pick from the same company that you is a strain that they have called Blue Cookies. Mm. And it's a Blue Dream and Cookies Cross, which are both such amazing strains. Two of my favorites on their own. So lovely. And then together you get that like dreamy haze of the Blue Dream, but that uppity fun energetic of cookies, like happy mood. So right now I'm really enjoying this Blue Cookies.
From the soil.
From the soil.
Nice. Are they only in Washington? Yeah.
They are only in Washington. I have been to their farm in Elma, Washington. They have actually they have a really beautiful property. I'm just gonna shout it out really quick.
Please. Yeah.
And I don't know, it's been probably, I don't know, 6 years since I've been there. So I don't know how what's changed. But when I visited, you drive up their drive and there's a lake to your right and like fields to your left, and it's just so picturesque. And you keep going and they take you over to where their outdoor fields are, and you see these trees that are literally like 8 feet tall, just huge. Because I think we went in September. We always, when I was working at a dispensary, we liked to try and visit the farm, the outdoor farms, towards the end of the growing season, just to, you know, check on progress. So we would see these huge plants, and then you would keep going, and there was like a row of four shipping containers inside where their indoor grows. So
Cool.
you got to see kind of everything in the trim rooms and everything. So it was just like there were deer crossing the property,
Oh.
like a little family of ducks on the lake. It was just
Okay.
such a beautiful place. And so yeah, I highly recommend From the Soil products here in Washington.
Nice. That sounds wonderful. I can't wait to actually visit a real grow. I still haven't
It's
done
pretty
that.
magical every time.
It sounds like it. I want to live there just based on that description. So
Not every grow is like that. I will
Yeah.
totally say
Yeah.
that. They are not all like that, but their farm
The good
was
ones are.
beautiful.
And that's like an outdoor indoor, or is it all
Yeah,
outdoor?
I think they had multiple licenses under the one brand. So they had their couple of outdoor fields, and then they had some indoor grow happening in those shipping containers as well. So they had both.
Awesome. All right. Well,
Yeah.
maybe if I ever make it out there, I can come and visit.
Yeah.
So, my fave knot pot is actually, hold on. So, my fave knot pot is actually a podcast, but I found out about it because the co-host or the host of it is the author of one of my favorite books called Word Slut. And she is a linguist. Like, she goes into the language of things and how that influences groups and peoples and cults. So her
Ooh,
podcast is
cool.
called, yeah, her podcast is called Sounds Like a Cult. And she basically goes in, it's hosted by Amanda Montell. And this, I, her latest book is called Cultish, The Language of Fanaticism, and that's what got her into this podcast. And she goes into like the cult of the Real Housewives, the cult of Amazon, the cult of the CIA, like, and pretty much anything you can think of that has like
Cool.
that people are like, oh, it's a cult. And then she, you know, brings someone in from that and then interviews them. And then at the end, she says, like, is this like a get the fuck out, you know, be careful, or like a you're cool, just live your life kind of a thing? Because some of the cults are, you know, harmless-ish.
Yeah.
Not Amazon, I found out. Like, I mean, obviously I knew, but like, you know, she brings up different parts that you don't think about so much. And it's just really interesting, and I learned something every episode. So I highly recommend it. Again, it's
Cool.
called Sounds Like a Cult, and you can get that any on any of the platforms. So
I'm gonna have to
anyway,
check that out. That sounds
yeah.
so, I'm like so into cults.
yeah. So am I, and I'm always like, oh, I'm out of the cults now. I'm not in a cult. And then I started listening to this, and I'm like, I'm in all the cults. I'm in so
Yes.
many
Yes.
cults.
Everything,
The
our whole
cannabis industry
society.
is a cult, really. I mean.
Oh, so I was thinking about that the other day, just like, man, I am in deep and
Yeah.
not looking to get out, you know?
Right. Yeah, I know. It's too late now. We've gone too
Yeah,
far.
right. Yeah. The juice has been drank.
Yeah. Yeah, we're making the juice for other people now. Like, I don't even realize
Yep.
it. So anyway. So what's your
Yeah.
fave knot pot? Who wants to start?
You go.
I can start. My fave knot pot is a Netflix TV show that my boyfriend and I watched recently called The Brother's Son, Sun. It's about the Taiwanese mafia, and it has the chick from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon in it. She's like the mom, and then it's about her two sons. It's so good. It's so good. the action is good. The writing is really good. The cinematography is really good. Just like everything about it is just really, really good. So that's my fave. We watched it like weeks ago and I like can't stop thinking about it. It's so good.
Okay. So I'll have
something
to check that
good
out.
That came out of Netflix.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Another cult there.
I know.
Cult. Yeah.
And what about you, Aisling?
Okay. My fave nut pot is my beverage that I'm drinking right now. I have been trying to find ways to get more herbal tea into my life, but I hate the taste of tea. I recognize the amazingness of plant medicine and I was just trying to like brainstorm more ways to get tea in my life. And one day I was like, well, why don't I just mix it in with hot chocolate mix? And I mean, it's like water. I can put some cream in there and like make it creamy. And then I'm getting, you know, my plants and I'm getting, it tastes nice. So I've been working on developing like my little herbal hot chocolate recipe for the past few months. It has nettle leaf, mullein and dandelion root and cinnamon.
That's a fantastic combination.
It's so nice because the nettle is great. It has like lots of vitamin C. It's good for just balancing your body and immune boosting. Mullein is great for your lungs. And as somebody who smokes pretty much only flower, like my lungs could use some love. And then the dandelion root is really great for detoxing and liver. So, and cinnamon warms your blood and helps your digestion. So it's all just like really good things that are healthy and nourishing for my body that are easy and cheap to get into my system. And then doing it in this method with the hot chocolate, it's just like it tastes good.
So, I'm going to try that. Yeah, that sounds great.
I can attest to how good it is. I drank it this morning. Like I'm totally on the train.
Yeah.
New cult.
Yeah. No, new cult for sure. This like nettle dandelion hot chocolate thing is so good.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with dandelion, but also I've been seeing people smoke mullein, like putting it in their blend of herbs to smoke. So I'm really interested in that too. So yeah, that sounds really cool. All right. I'm going to try that.
Yeah, I think that's really an old herbal remedy for like dealing with asthma is they literally like blow mullein smoke into people's, you know, airways as they're having an asthma attack.
Wow.
It's powerful, bro. It's so good.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. I have an herbal tea with that in there that's supposed to be for like allergies and asthma. And then I have it separately for witchy stuff, but like, the tea has to be prepared like just right, you know? But it works really well. And yeah, I'm excited to try because the taste, you know, even though I'm obsessed with dandelion and nettle and all the things you just said, they don't taste the greatest when it comes to tea. So that's a really good idea. I've actually thought about that.
Yeah,
because I thought about adding like creamer, like a flavored creamer, but I'm like, can you just add that to tea? So
that's what they do in England.
They cream their tea.
Cream and sugar, just like coffee.
Oh, yeah, they do, don't they?
Right? Like the London fog.
Right,
tea and milk.
So we're reclaiming it.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. All right, well, I'm going to try that later. So, ever feel like life stress gets to be too much? Welcome to Mitra Gaia, your natural wellness partner. We are the number one rated provider of Kratom, a 100% natural plant-based solution used in Asia for centuries to help increase focus, energy, and relaxation. Want to know more? Use the code YHPOD to get 10% off your first order today. That's mitragaya.com. And code YHPOD for 10% off. All right, so switching gears a little bit, let's start with your podcast, Chronic Gals. How has your experience first of all, let's talk about the podcast and how you got into being podcasters. And then also, how has that experience shaped what you're doing now?
Yeah, well, we started about the same time you started your podcast. Like, I think that we've been kind of in the periphery of each other's circles since we both started. And it really just came because I started working in the cannabis industry as a bud tender we smoked together all the time and just loved having really deep, interesting conversations. And at some point we looked at each other and we're like, other people need to be part of these stoner high combos.
Like, these are good ideas.
These are good ideas.
People need to hear these ideas.
So we were like, well, let's just put a microphone on it. And we started podcasting. And we, from me working in the dispensary, I had a really great access to a wide variety of products and strains and people that we could talk to. So we built a community that way and started, you know, just talking about weed and learning and just, I don't know, getting out there.
Yeah, we, I don't know, there's like, I got super passionate about weed once I learned that it could like change the whole world. And I was telling,
to put it lightly.
Yeah, no, serious, but it really, I remember in like high school, I did a project on weed or on hemp or something and learned that an acre of hemp can make more paper than like 100 acres of trees. I don't think those numbers are accurate right now, but it was like a little bit of hemp versus a lot of bit of trees.
Plus it takes
the
like
same amount.
What, 2 weeks or something in comparison to like 20 years
decades?
Or like, you know, I know we're not using exact numbers, but it's no. Pretty similar to that. It grows a lot faster.
Exactly. And the way that it can change the like soil components and like eat radiation. So like there have been things on the peripheral about hemp and cannabis that have been like so interesting to me. And then we started smoking it. And then that was like, oh my gosh, there's like so many different things, you know, that go into it. And then she got the job and we started learning about, or we just started smoking so much more and different varieties of stuff. And like the passion like really, really grew. And like this plant really can save the world. And it's just a shame that we have to fight up against like everything to tell people that it can change the world. So
literally fight against everything to get any sort of message out.
Yeah. So we were just like, we need to talk to people about, weed and a little bit of an evangelize, but also like, if you don't want to do it, that's totally fine too, you know? So, but
how can you argue? Sorry. I just don't understand how people can argue with the timing and the math and the numbers of it all. As far as simple things as replacing our paper, you know, making hemp-based paper instead of tree-based paper. Our trees are dying. Our forests are gone, and we're trying to regrow these things. It's just like a duh to me, and I don't understand why people are.
Also, like our founding fathers had hemp farms.
Yeah.
And the Constitution was written on hemp.
And yet everybody and their uncle will say, hold on, sorry, I turned this down. They'll say things like, oh, you just want to get high. Like, I mean, just at the events that I do, people, I'm trying to have that conversation and they're like, where's the weed? You know? And I'm like, none of this is
they
weed.
They say that while holding a Bud Light.
Yeah. Right. They're like, oh, your pot event or whatever. And it's like, no, there's so much more to it. And I get it. I was one of those people who would smoke with my friends and then they would go on and on about George Washington and all this stuff. And I would be like, okay, sure. You know? But I changed my mind about it and everyone else can as well.
Exactly.
I think it's like daunting to some people, just like, where do you start? You know, that became clear to me the other night, like people who just have no idea and think that like everything that you're talking about is weed. And yes, I know the plant is, you know, has hemp and CBD. It's not just weed, but like that is the response. And you're like, where do I even start? You know, which is what you're doing. You're starting. You have a place to start. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about what Take Root is and how that can help bud tenders working in an environment that's like a big box store. I mean, we talked about this off the air the other day, but a lot of places where I am, the dispensaries, I'm talking about the dispensaries, they are run like, you know, Target or Walmart or one of these stores. And so even if the bud tender has the knowledge and they're really well trained, they don't have the time to really spend with each customer, right? So if they're working for a company that values profit over people, how can they implement your training in their day-to-day?
Okay, let's start just by talking about what take root is, and then let's dive into that way deeper. We were just talking about it before we started recording, and it's like the experience. You're in Massachusetts, right?
Maryland.
The experience in Maryland is so different than our experience here in Washington. So we've actually like, we want to talk to you about it too.
Yeah.
So one of the really amazing things that came from all of these conversations and this community and network that we built as the Chronic Owls was we realized that there was a great lack of budtender training. Mm-hmm. We started hosting these rooms on Clubhouse, which is that social app where it's just like audio only.
Is that where still we were around? Inviting?
It is.
I think so.
Yeah. I don't use it.
I don't use it anymore. I think I hopped in once, like a couple months ago. I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Time is such a weird thing, right? It's like, what? Right. Clubhouse? What is that? Oh, that was just like
so 2021.
Anyway. Yeah. Sorry.
But over and over, so we were hosting rooms in Clubhouse, having people from Washington come in, and over and over, people kept bringing up this lack of this like poor customer experience when they were dealing with budtenders, which is crazy because in such a stigmatized industry, especially for like new customers coming in, if you have a bad time with your budtender, you're not coming back and you're not going to try it again. And it's just, you're just going to write it off and you're going to, you know, lose out on so many potential benefits. So we decided to take our skills and our experience and take a big fucking leap of faith and create this thing called Take Root Training, where we put everything that I learned about budtending, that Riley has learned about customer service, and our partner, Melissa, who used to work in corporate training, put it all together into a training guide for budtenders that helps to establish foundational information that all budtenders should know in order to effectively help a customer. So that's what we did.
And the training isn't, I mean, like it goes over like cannabis science, the history of cannabis, and then it breaks down into each product type. And so all of this information is stuff that budtenders should know before hitting the floor. So in a big box store, even at Target, if I can't find the shampoo, I'm going to go find somebody that works there and ask them, hey, where's the shampoo, you know? So I would imagine at a dispensary, at a big box dispensary, there would be a budtender somewhere where somebody could ask them like, oh, I have this issue. What would you suggest? Unless you're just...
Okay, all right. I already thought of something different. Oh, and we've talked about this before. So you're in Washington where you can go into the store and look at the products before you buy that. Yeah. You can't do that here. So you can do it online.
That's like a legal restriction, is they're not allowed to show the product before it's been bought.
Correct. Yes. And so you can go online and like do your research beforehand, but we all know, and especially since you've worked in a dispensary, you know, people don't just come in and go, well, I saw online all the time. You know, you're going to get like 8 out of 10 people who are just coming in. They're going, I have this problem. What can I get for it? But then the budtender is pressured to get them in and out. So they might say, well, I mean, I don't know, the highest THC thing, or, you know, this thing because it's on special, even though they know, you know, there's a lot more to it and we need to have a whole conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I feel like immediately that just underlines the need for more training, because if they only have 30 seconds when they're passing money back and forth to answer somebody's question, then they should be well-trained enough that they can answer anybody's question within 30 seconds, within 2 to 3 sentences.
Okay.
So,
whoa.
All right, microphone, hold on.
Just got so passionate.
Okay. And if I would imagine that a big box company would have enough wherewithal to like sit bud tenders down before they even hit the floor to explain what they're going to be selling, even if the chance of like explaining what a terpene is isn't there. They should have a full understanding of the product that they're selling. Like a salesperson, like a floor salesperson would have the full understanding of all of the floor textiles that he is selling. You know, like it's a huge money miss for the dispensaries
100%
to not provide training.
Totally agree.
then their customer who is not getting fulfilled is going to the plug behind Circle K and still spending weed in the illicit market.
Right.
Or even if they're not talking to the customer about terpenes, they still need to understand that a tincture with linalool is going to affect somebody differently than a tincture with limonene. And right. I don't know, are those kinds of products available for you guys at this point? Like,
yeah, but so I'm just thinking about like the other night, I'm talking to people who don't use cannabis at all. And they don't know what an entourage effect is. And I felt very intimidated trying to explain it in like a very basic way. Because I know how to, and like an article, and when I'm talking to people who already kind of have an idea, but I'm talking to people that don't even know. So if somebody comes in and they only have 30 seconds, then should the bud tender be like, okay, well, this strain has limonene or linalool. I don't know. I'm not saying it right. Sorry. If say like, this is high in myrcene, go home and look that up. I mean, would you say that that would be like a better way to handle it than just like, this is better for you? This is better for you, you know, because people don't know.
I would.
Yeah.
The people who are coming in with questions are willing to do the homework if you're not able to like, if you say here are these keywords, lemon, you know, myrcene, whatever the words are, and ask them to do some research. I think the people who have questions are willing to do the work.
So
there's
speaking
always
of that,
be the customer.
Let's talk
there's
about. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was just gonna say that there's always going to be the customer who just wants to get high.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're not going to be, they're not going to care about going home and learning about THCV.
Yeah.
You know, they don't care.
Right.
But the person who is actually interested in having an appetite suppressant, mm-hmm. and you mentioned to them THCV as a cannabinoid that helps suppress appetite, they will go home and learn more about THCV and research strains that are high in THCV. So it's also up to the patient or the customer.
Right. They have to be informed as well. So to that point, can you talk about what the Take Root Almanac is?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Take Root Almanac is actually our product for cannabis brands who want to educate bud tenders. So one thing that we noticed is that a lot of brands don't do very well at producing product knowledge sheets or product knowledge material for bud tenders to learn from. There might be a little bit of information on the package, if it's, you know, something like a tincture that's in a package or a concentrate that has some sort of placard on it. But there's not a lot of, this is exactly what's in this strain and what it can affect. You know, it's not that granular, but that would be such a huge benefit for bud tenders to have that quick reference. To go back and say, okay, this strain would be great for this customer. This strain would be great for this kind of customer.
Mm-hmm.
So the Take Root Almanac provides that place for brands to put that information where bud tenders can go and find it easily. When a brand releases a new product, they can put all the information on there and send out a push notification to their whole network so that everybody knows about their new product. And when you're informing the bud tenders, the bud tenders can better inform the public. And when they're informing the public, they're selling your product. So the almanac solves that problem.
Did you want to add anything to that, Riley?
Nope, she got it.
So that is very valuable information. And I'm hoping that that can be something that we all have access to soon. As in like just the customers too. I mean, do you have any plans for that part? Do you have a plan for that to be available to the consumer as well?
We have talked about it, in addition just to our cannabis education course for bud tenders, which I guess is technically available to the public, anybody who wants to be a bud tender. It would just be like the up to the brand not to put any internal information that they don't want the public to know. I mean, I can't think of what that would be off the top of my head, but there may be information between the retail or the brand and the retailer that you know, may be inappropriate for the customer to know. So that would be the only thing that the consideration there.
Like mold. No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, right.
We actually have mold on our products. Don't let anybody know that.
Right.
So you already touched on this a bit, but can we go into it a little bit deeper? What is the retail experience like in Washington, and how did that shape what the Take Root training
So you park your car, you get out, you go up to a door. Usually the person checking your ID lets you in, or you could, some of the stores you could just walk in. I always feel weird just walking into a dispensary without getting my ID checked. But you get your ID checked, they let you into like the retail space. Most stores have like all the their walls filled with product or in like a glass case. You walk up to a budtender that is waiting nicely for you, and they can help you like answer any questions. Usually it's a one-on-one type of situation where they pull the product and kind of, I mean, some places show it to you, some places just like you pick it out of a menu and then you buy it. But it's like really one-on-one. I think the places where I've experienced not one-on-one stuff was like definitely Illinois and Connecticut, where you just like walk into a store. It was like a doctor's office and then you pick from a kiosk. Like that experience is so different than what we have in Washington and in Oregon and in California. Like in Oregon, it's even loosey or goosier. Like they have jars and you can smell the jar and then they weigh it out right there in your face and you can
Wow.
like pick out the nug that you want or whatever. So
That sounds amazing.
Washington, everything is individually packaged. You can't touch it until you get out of the store and open it.
So
The product that is.
do you see a big need for budtender training in Washington? I mean, is that more, is it, I don't know how to say it correctly exactly, but are there more like privately owned smaller businesses who could really benefit from the training as opposed to the bigger corporations that may or may not think that it's worth the expense of time?
Yeah, per our legislation, we're not allowed to have outside money come into our dispensaries or any of our markets. So, most of the stores here are like mom and pop or like small chains that are owned by people in Washington. So, I mean, we def like our experiences in Washington dispensaries definitely informed our training. But, and because we left these dispensaries not feeling like the budtender knew more than we did. And that is like, as someone who doesn't know a lot about cannabis, thinking about someone who doesn't know about cannabis, that just opens like doors for miseducation, misuse, like a lot of bad things. So it's just frustrating to me that a big box store would not highlight or want train their budtenders or to provide a personalized experience to their budtenders. And I get time is money, totally. And I know that budtenders don't want to spend an hour with one customer who only spends $50. Like I get all of that, but to spend 15 minutes with somebody who is willing to spend $300 on your dispensary, spending that extra 15 minutes explaining products to somebody is a difference between that person spending $50 and $300. Like someone who is just feels the pressure to get in and out of a dispensary is not going to like the product that they chose because they have no connection to it. And cannabis is a connection plant. Like beyond the woo, the science of it is a woo-woo plant. And we need to be able to smell it and interact with it. And that I just like these big box stores are really missing the point of it all
Well,
is to get
also, I
connected.
think I'm just thinking about all of the retail jobs I've had over the years, and I think that just from the employee standpoint, if I'm not making commission, if you're not paying me a decent hourly wage, then I'm going to be a lot less inspired to spend time with everybody that comes in. And I think
Yeah,
that's
no,
another issue that we
totally.
have because now people are just applying to dispensaries in the same way as they would Target or, whatever, fill in the blank, whatever retail job, because it is churning completely retail. I mean, at least here, I completely agree with you. I'm anti-capitalist, but I'm just saying it from what I'm seeing, is that people are getting burnt out. And if they aren't being incentivized, then why should they, right?
No, I totally, I Yes, 100%. But that's like where my frustration with the entire industry comes, is that we were not ready for this. We were not ready to be 50 different states with 50 different rules about one plant. Like, that makes no sense. So for all of these big businesses to come in and think that they know how to operate, when people have been doing this for years before they came in with their big money. And what consumers are wanting these days is interaction, is like a personalized experience. And if people keep promoting or like buying at big box stores and not asking for the time, like the consumers are responsible here too.
Yeah.
I want to say, no, don't push me out the door. Let me have a conversation with you. Tell me about the shit that you're selling. Tell me about what I'm consuming into my body.
Right.
What are you smoking? I want to know what you're smoking because you're supposed to be the expert.
Right. And then if people are going to the legacy market, because, you know, being really honest, back when I was doing that, the person I got it from would be like, well, this didn't work for you last time. Oh, let me get you this. Now, I have a little bit of an edge because my husband works in the dispensary and he does help me with that. Mm-hmm. But if I didn't have that, probably wouldn't go into dispensary, honestly. I mean, maybe now I would. I don't know. But I can see the appeal because you have a little bit more one-on-one, you know, you're able to ask questions without feeling pressured. Of course, that can turn into weirdness when they want to hang out with you and you don't want to do that. But, you know, you always have that. But
totally. But there was that one-on-one, their interaction. You kind of knew where you were getting your weed from.
Right.
You know, I mean, like, if you knew the right plug.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just, like, going into stores, like, in Connecticut, it was just, like, such a disappointment coming from the West. And just, like, what a missed opportunity. Because it's expensive. It's so expensive. Yeah.
It's a very expensive choose your own adventure and you don't know what you're choosing. And you're like, oh, if you said this is indica, sure. And then you come home and you're like, nope.
Zapped out. And when your bud tender doesn't even know what he's passing on to you, then it's like, why are we even doing this? What is even the point? This isn't what we're trying to do here. Sorry.
No, there's another layer here that's coming up like in the near future that people aren't even considering yet. And that's cannabis hospitality. When people are going to be able to go to a lounge that is designed for them to be comfortable and safe and have that slowness, why would they go to a dispensary? You know, the dispensary now has to do more to stand out. I mean, people are always going to go to the dispensary to get stuff to take home, but they're going to have to compete now with these lounges where people are going to be, you'll be able to sit and enjoy a joint with your friends and it just becomes that atmosphere that cannabis grew in, right? Like that going to get your weed in the basement from your dude, you know?
I mean, I think about kava bars, not to be completely like, but that's what got me into Kratom. And it was because I'm sitting in the bar, I'm asking questions. It's a laid back situation. Mm-hmm. There's material for me to read at my own leisure. You know, I don't have to feel like I'm being rushed out. So, you know. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people that aren't in that market for consumption lounges. And those are the people that really need to have a bud tender who has your training materials on hand.
Right. I agree. If you know any, send them our way.
Yeah. So and to that point, before we end this, why don't you tell us how people can support you and if you have anything specific that you'd like to promote?
We actually have a couple projects going on right now. Our big new...
If anybody wants to sign up for Root Knowledge, if anybody wants to be a bud tender or you are a bud tender, or your dispensary that wants training or a cannabis brand interested in the Almanac, all of that information is at takerootraining.com. So anything bud tender training related, visit us at takerootraining.com. In addition, we have these wonderful things happening.
So the Chronic Owls is producing a new podcast called The Talking Potheads. It's going to be the free resource for bud tenders to get educated about cannabis science, history of cannabis and all the product information. So we're going to be talking to industry experts as well as bud tenders to get like a full perspective on what they really do need to know about selling weed. So that's going to be released on 4/20. We're super excited about that. And in addition to that, we created the Bud Tender Buzz Line. It's a voicemail inbox where you can call after your crazy dispensary shift to share your crazy dispensary stories.
Oh, I have some people that are probably going to want to call in to you. That's for sure.
Okay, good. Okay. The number for the Bud Tender Buzz Line is 1-360-326-2893.
And we'll send it to you.
Yeah,
yeah, we'll put that in the show notes.
So please call. We've gotten a couple voicemails already, and they're so fun to listen to.
And we're really disguise voices?
Yeah, we will. It's totally anonymous.
Yeah,
we will disguise all the voices.
Yep.
It'll be a segment on the Talking Potheads. So
nice.
And we'll probably post them on some social media at some point as well.
Oh, I'm excited. That is very cool. Well, I appreciate you joining me today. Thank you so much. And please come back anytime. Until next time, stay high and beautiful.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. Until next time, stay high and beautiful. This episode was produced by Your Highness Media. Audio editing by J.R. Crash. Intro music by Your Mom Likes My Music. Subscribe to our Substack, Your Highness Newsletter, for the latest announcements and event updates.